Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. We have an interesting YouTube live chat poll for today, and we're going to take phone calls on this right now. So if you want to call us, let me tell you what it is before I give you the phone numbers. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? In high school, middle school, anytime, or never? So the first question I wrote was, when should parents... or should parents talk to their kids about it? And then I'm like, people are going to be like, well, my kids are 30 and we talk about it. And that's not what I'm talking about. If you've got children and they're in high school, they're underage, when should that conversation happen? Is it ever appropriate? When does it become appropriate? Is it important to talk about elections and specifically the candidates? How do you discuss Donald Trump? How do you discuss Kamala Harris? Do you do any of it? 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Ryan, what's your thought on this particular question? You got three kids that are grade school age. What do you think?
I'm an anytime on this because I remember talking to my kids, you know, my two-year-olds that in the 2016 election, my twins were two. And I remember talking to them about it, not because I would bring it up, but because we'd be listening to the radio and they'd say something and you go, oh yeah, okay. And you just kind of address where they're at that moment, which at 2 years old is very shallow. They're not going to get a whole lot. So you just kind of explain a little bit, but really it comes up in values conversations. You don't really, we don't at least lead with political discussions.
You don't go into your living room and go, Donald Trump, am I right?
I just wear a MAGA hat around and I just keep pointing at it and I wait for him to ask. We talk just about whatever. And since politics is part of values at this point, especially, it comes up. It's not always the lead, but it happens. And now that they're 10 years old and 7 years old, I mean, shoot, they have questions all the time about stuff going on in the world. And we're not going to back off of those things. I just don't want them to walk away from a conversation thinking, I'm a Republican. I want them to think about why they believe what they believe instead of thinking, first, I'm a part of a group. I want them to critically analyze these things. And at every age, that looks different. So that's what we do.
What do you think, Brad?
I am actually going to back Ryan up on this one. I would vote anytime. And like Ryan had said, I think the most important thing is that you speak to the children at the level that they're at. You don't have to get deep in the weeds with, like Ryan said, a two-year-old. But as they mature, you start explaining stuff. And you're like, this is why I believe what I believe. But, you know, here are the facts. And you tell me what you think. And then we'll have this discussion. I think as your kids get into high school, you can start having some really good, solid, interesting conversations with them. And they're in that stage in their life where they start thinking critically and more abstractly and less concrete.
Is there a time where it's too soon? Do you guys feel like it can be said that it's too soon at this particular age?
Yes, I do, depending on the issue, because there are issues that are adult issues.
We're not talking about issues. I'm not asking, like, when's the time to talk to your kids about abortion? You can talk to your kids about elections and candidates without having to talk about specific issues. The fact that the election is going on, kids are going to notice.
And I guess in light of the wording of that question, I don't think there is a time that's too early. However, you can do it poorly.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
I mean, at any age, and I see grown people doing it poorly to each other as grown people all of the time. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting this based on the right way to do it. I'm suggesting that maybe some might say, for a six-year-old, there is no right way to do it.
Yeah.
That you should not talk about it at all until maybe they are a voting age or maybe once they're in high school. I'm curious if people think that there is a time where it is inappropriate to have that conversation. And so you're saying...
I'm saying no. I'm saying anytime.
Anytime?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at, too. Like you were saying, like for a six-year-old, your conversation is going to look more like this is an election. This person's a Democrat. This person's a Republican. They run against one another to see who's going to be president, kind of explaining the nuts and bolts. I don't think that you can get too much into the theory and side of it. But, yeah, I think you can talk to your kids as young as two about, like, yeah, elections are how we decide who leads the country.
Inflation.
Yeah.
So I want to play this clip for you before we get to our phone calls. We got three people on hold. We got three people or three lines open. If you want to join us to weigh in as to when you feel it is appropriate, if ever, to talk to your children, your underage children, about politics, the election specifically. I'm asking about the election and the candidates. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Give us a call and we'll discuss that here in just a minute. I want to play this. This is a CNN clip. And when I saw this online, I thought to myself, what is CNN doing? But maybe you guys have a different perspective on it. This is a CNN anchor or a reporter, excuse me, sitting down with children, and the package is under the category of kids on politics.
The study found that Republican-leaning kids were more open to visiting a Democrat-supporting household. The Democrat-leaning kids were about five times more likely to say they would not want to go to a pro-Trump house.
Would they be okay with you going over to somebody's house who was really supportive of President Trump?
No.
No? And why not?
Because they know that he's not like black people, so they will not be happy to see me.
Would your family let you go over to somebody's house who's really supportive of Donald Trump?
No.
No, they wouldn't?
No.
And why not?
Because, like, my mom and dad don't like Donald Trump at all. Not a single bit.
Would you be okay going over to somebody's house whose family really likes Kamala Harris?
I think it'd be fine. It's just about the personality of the people.
Isn't that amazing to listen to those kids?
Wow.
And the one child, which is his radio, you can't see it. He's a young black boy. He said that his parents would not want him to go over to somebody's house if they supported Trump because he knows that Trump doesn't like people like him, doesn't like black people. That's heartbreaking. That's absolutely devastating to hear and see. And you know that these types of conversations are being subsidized by a media that wants people to feel this divided. Let's get to the phones right now. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. If you want to weigh in on when it's appropriate to talk to kids about politics. Let's start with Frank. Thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think? When is it appropriate, if ever, to talk to your kids about elections and candidates?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and what I do is when I'm watching the news, they'll sit down with me, and I'll explain to them, you know, hey, once upon a time, there was the world's greatest charlatan, and he would pretend to go to church, and he would pretend to care about people, but all he did was grift off of everyone, and it's amazing that almost half the country is stupid enough to believe this fat orange turd. And he was really the greatest charlatan ever to live. And all the fools that follow him called themselves MAGA. So now my kids are fully aware that, you know, roughly a little less than half the country is dumb enough to follow this complete fake billionaire who's selling tchotchkes like he's on Home Shopping Network.
Frank,
but he's the best. He really is a billionaire that loves the country, right?
Frank, you big Kamala Harris guy?
No, but I would vote for a bag of dirt before I vote for Trump. I'm a lifelong Republican.
I totally believe that.
Why? Why is it if you're not a member of the cult, you're therefore a libtard?
Did I say that?
Well, you said you don't believe I'm a Republican.
I didn't, in fact, say that. I said I totally believe that.
I'm sorry if I misunderstood you, but I'm a lifelong Republican.
You did. And then you used a kind of a slur type of a word that I've never uttered before and implied that I said it.
All right, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said.
All right. I forgive you. Thank you for calling the show, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Todd. If anyone else wants to call, 314-241-9797. When do you think it's appropriate to talk to kids about elections and candidates?
Hey, Annie. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you guys again.
You too.
I was telling your screener when I talked to him, we home-raised four kids, and their grandfather was a state rep and a senator in Missouri for years, and their mother was a Jefferson County Republican chairperson for years, still is. And so they were surrounded by politics almost all their lives. Now I got four kids with four completely different personalities, and the ages range from 38 down to 24, and they have a lot of different views. You know, they're still pretty much conservative, but their social views are a little more liberal than what ours are.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice giving them that foundation, young age, to know the facts and to make up their own minds and have it come from a place of intelligence and not from hatred and not from the media, especially once they went off to school and surrounded by liberal professors, and they could actually defend their positions and know what they were talking about from experience, not just from what they heard on TV.
Hmm.
So I think there's nothing wrong with exposing your children to politics at a young age, but not to, I mean, I'd hate to be one of our Frank kids, oh my gosh. But, you know, to give them a foundation to build on, they're always going to have their own opinions. But to have it come from a factual place and not a place of opinions and hatred, I think it's a lot better. So there's nothing wrong with exposing your children to politics at a young age.
Yeah, I agree with you, Todd. Thank you for the phone call. It's good to hear from you. Appreciate you.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. You know, I think that it's important to remember what we're hearing from some of these commenters on our YouTube live chat, a lot of comments coming in there, and also from Todd, is that, and this is my philosophy, this is why I'm an anytime response on this, is that what you don't teach your kids, the world will always fill in every gap and hole that you didn't address. So no matter what it is, you have to be able to talk to your children about it. And you as the parent know the age appropriate way to handle that situation. Nobody is filled with the love for your child that a parent has. And so you have to do it because the world's going to show up and they're absolutely going to do it for you and take advantage of every opportunity you missed to have those conversations. Keith, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. If you want to tell us what you think, when is it appropriate to talk to underage children about elections and candidates?
Yeah. Hi, Annie. So I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they listen to the same stuff I listen to in the car. A lot of times they'll hear you know, and some other folks. And I tell them when they start talking about their views, you know, I tell them that they're not allowed to have political views.
Yeah.
I will talk to them about what's going on if they hear something. And a lot of times I turn stuff down, you know,
because
you want to protect them from things. But when they start spouting off their political opinions, I don't want them to turn into your first caller, any version of that. So
why?
I tell
he seems
them that
so happy. He's a lifelong Republican, you know.
I tell them that you don't have the life experience to have those views, so you're not allowed to have them. I joke with them about it, but mm-hmm. I'm serious in a sense, because that is how you end up with a guy like the first caller.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to raise that.
I have faith in you. Thank you for the call, Keith. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You know, you do have to step back for a second and think about somebody who listens to the show. I believe it said on there that they're local. So, because we can see like the general area that you call from. A lot of times it just says St. Louis or whatever, Illinois. And it's interesting to think, Todd on our YouTube chat says, my goodness, Frank is an angry elf. That's a good way to explain it. Like that there's a gentleman out there who was waiting for his opportunity to publicly call Donald Trump an orange turd.
It seemed like the point.
And he's been listening to this show. You know how often we open the phones?
Not all the time.
If once a week, once a week. Today was his day.
You know,
and we were able to do that for him, and he's listening right now, and he's getting extra airtime, and he's so happy.
I said, you know, going into this segment sometime in the last hour, or maybe it was the beginning of this segment, where I said there's a way that we like to do this with our kids, but there's a poor way to do it too. Take the politics out of it. Take the Donald Trump out of it. If it was the same thing, but them saying, well, we don't vote for Joe Biden because we just think he's a turd. Like, that's not training my kids. That's not what I would do with my kids, because I want them to think critically about these topics in the level that they're at 7, at 10, whatever that looks
we
like.
We can assume, and you know what happens when you assume.
Makes an ass. Well,
assume. Oop.
I started to say it, and I think I can say that word. I'm not sure.
the reason why you're such a goof. The reason why you get your act together.
Yeah, I will.
The reason why one might suggest that you wouldn't talk to your children about politics too early is so that the substance of the conversation that they're able to participate in is to be like, Trump is an orange turd. That's why you wouldn't talk to your five-year-old about it. That's why you'd be like, I don't know that you're mature enough and experienced enough and emotionally ready to have this conversation. You're like, but Trump's an orange turd. And you're like, thank you for confirmation. We'll wait a few years. But to the point that we've all said, the time may never come when you're prepared to have an adult conversation about the issues that really, really matter. But the good news is that there are shows out there like the Annie Fry Show that you can listen to, and you can keep your radio locked into St. Louis's home for conservative talk and educate yourself. And with that, we're going to take a break, because when we come back, I'm going to get to the rest of your phone calls. Carl, Mike, Chelsea, Michael, Rich. We'll get to as many as we can. We've got one line that Ethan is talking to out there. They're full. If somebody drops over the break, though, you can call in and try to snag one of their spots. And we will plow through these in the next break. So if I get to you, if I'm able to get to your phone call, it's going to be quick. We're going to move through them. 314-241-9797. If one of the lines opens up, Frank, you're my buddy. We'll be right back. So this song is beloved in my family. I love Elle King. I love Miranda Lambert. And my 8-year-old can sing every word to the song. So in my car, we sing, Baby, I'm Pumped, and I Don't Want to Go Home.
Oh, yeah.
I told her, you can't sing that. We cannot listen to the song. And you're the 8-year-old voice. Be singing this.
I still do that as an adult. Not to this kind of stuff, but words that I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to say that. I'll just change them, sing a different word.
Nate Bargatze has a set where he says that he's like 38 and he doesn't allow himself to say sucks. We'll talk about that later.
I got a song called Atomic Lust that I love, but I won't sing it because I feel bad.
Atomic Lunch.
So I call it Atomic Lunch.
Oh.
I just sing Atomic Lunch.
The YouTube live chat poll, when should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates, high school, middle school, anytime or never? We're taking phone calls on this, and we had a few in before we got into this segment. We're going to try to get through. We've got a full board of phones. Try to get through as many as we can in the next 10 minutes. So when I put you on, let us have it. Let us know what you think, and then we'll continue to move on to other callers. So we'll start here with Carl. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? Carl, what do you think?
Hey, well, I have a 16-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay.
I consider myself a conservative Democrat. Yes, that is such a thing. I was in the military a long time, law enforcement for 14 years, and I tell my 6-year-old especially, it's not just about money.
Yeah.
You know, it's people vote about money all the time. It's really about character. And you know, I know a lot of people have a bad rep for being, just saying anything they want to say.
Hey, Carl, I'm sorry. Your connection is really hard to hear and it's distorted. So you can call back if you want to, and we will try to get you back on here. Sorry about that. Cody, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about when parents should talk to their underage children about elections and candidates?
Well, I've got an 11-year-old and 12-year-old, and they brought it up to me.
Yeah?
My 12-year-old was like, hey, I was watching an interview with Trump, and the idiot was just rambling on and on. He made no sense.
Yeah.
He was all over the map. And I said, yeah, can you believe that moron was once president? He knows nothing about everything.
Yeah.
He's a complete idiot.
And was he an orange turd? Like, this guy's very competitive. Frank is...
He's trying hard.
Frank. Hey, Ethan, if he calls back, just make sure that the next name he picks is Mike Pensive. All right. Chelsea, thank you for calling the Annie
Fry
Show.
He's doing the work.
Yeah, put him on there as Mike Pensive. We'll take him. Chelsea, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates?
Always.
Always. Okay, I like that.
My daughter is 11 years old, and this is my point. She was watching... We watched conventions together, my whole family. I have an 18-year-old and an 11.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Mom, on the DNC, she said, Mom, the only reason they have a Jill poster up is so that the immigrants know her name and who to vote for. What does that tell you?
Jill?
Jill Biden. When she entered the stage, everyone had a Jill poster. That was her synopsis of the entire thing.
Hmm. That's interesting. So you watched the whole DNC convention with your kids?
Both of them.
Both conventions or both kids?
Yep.
Or both kids with both conventions?
Both and both, yeah. And so she told me, Mom, I don't understand. Oh, wait, I do. Because the only reason that all her voters, she knows too much. But that's how I roll with my kids. You have to be honest with them for their protection.
Thank you, Chelsea, for the phone call. I find it interesting to watch some of the convention stuff with my kids, but I also try to shield them. They get way more of it than any kid deserves to, just because they're my children. But I know people are saying they sit their kids down. I think I can't say that I wouldn't do it differently if I weren't on the air doing this every day, because they're exposed to the news. I'm always interested in what I'm paying attention to while they're supposed to be doing other things, and then something piques their interest and they start asking questions about it. Rich, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think? When is it appropriate for kid or parents to talk to their kids about elections and candidates?
Is this me, Rich?
Yes, Rich, it's all you.
I missed who you were in or asking for.
Yep.
I'm going to say hi to you and Brad and Ryan. And, you know, after what you guys talked, this is off the subject for a minute, and I'm going to make it fast. After what you guys talked about ISIS and that report this morning and everything, and Frank gets on there and does the crap that he did, and it's just kind of irritating that, you know, these people get on your station and then ridicule us. Well, then why the heck are they listening to you guys?
Because they can't get enough.
You guys do a heck of a job, and they just want to drive you down, just like the other side that that does it every day, that pretend that they're doing a good job. So we all know what's going on. Just to have to listen to him, I didn't want to turn the radio down because I didn't want to miss the next caller. And then this guy stays on there all that time and makes a fool of himself.
Yes, he did.
He needs to go to another station and listen to their politics.
You had me until the end, Rich. Keep him right here, because the more he listens, one time there's going to be a caller named Rich who calls in and changes Frank's mind or Cody's mind.
Well, that's fine, but we have to, you know, when those guys get on there, they're long-winded. They don't give our side a chance to compliment you guys and talk about the issues.
Well, you're very sweet to do that. And the number one thing, Rich, that you need to understand is that those people really, it's almost self-indulgent. Those people make my day, because, Ryan, you might agree with this, I don't know, but to know that there are people out there who are so into politics, self-loathing about the political situation that they can't get enough of this show, means how fun must our show be to listen to that you would listen to it while we talk about things that make you hate yourself?
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. You know what? Annie's right. Rich is right. Rich, if you wanted to compliment us right now, you go ahead. You know, we don't give you enough time.
No, I don't want to take your time. I want to listen to other people.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you guys took my call, and it was off the subject, but I felt like, you know what? I had something to say. I'm 67 years old, and I've been a conservative all my life.
Well, I believe you. Rich, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
That's nice. I don't think that was also Frank, but it might have been. We might have worked that fast on him. Maybe that was also Frank.
My gosh. If that's true.
It's probably you, right?
Not only did you change his thoughts, you changed his phone quality.
Yes. Hey, I mean, that is the Wiggins effect on people, that Frank called us at the beginning of the hour and was, some might say, suffering from TDS. But by 1:37, Wiggins turned him around.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Changing people's names. And we don't mean to keep calling him Frank, because that's dead naming him.
Cody.
Or whatever.
Chris, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think? When is it appropriate for parents to talk to underage children about elections and candidates?
Well, I've got my 12-year-old son and our grandson in the truck right now, and I've got custody of him and his little sister. And
can you tell us his first name?
His first name or mine?
Your 12-year-old's first name.
Oh, it's Aiden. He's right here.
Hi, Aiden.
Hey, Aiden.
Don't be weird.
Aiden. Hey, Aiden.
Hey, Aiden. We want to say hi. So you're exposing him to the Annie Fry Show, at least. Do you guys talk about politics?
Yes, we do. I was telling Brad or Ryan, whoever, that asked me earlier. I said he was asking me questions earlier today before we started listening to your show. I listen every day, but he happens to be with me today in my truck. So, he was asking me questions today, telling me how interested he is in history. And we talk about politics all the time. And I'm an old-fashioned Ronald Reagan conservative, and hopefully I'm bringing them up the right way to use their own mind.
Yes.
But follow the facts and, you know, read through all the disinformation, as everybody likes to say.
Well, Chris and Aiden, thank you for spending A, time together, and B, spending your time together with us. I think you're doing a great job, and we really appreciate you calling in.
Well, you have a fun show. Like I said, I listen every day, so wouldn't miss it.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Maybe we can get Aiden out of school, and then he can listen every day, too. Bring our ratings numbers, age range down a little
bit. Aiden could just 12. Do my job.
Yeah, let's get that 6+.
What?
You interested?
I'm not interested.
Let's go to JR, calling the Annie Fry Show. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? What do you think?
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to tell you guys are entertaining and informative, and I do enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
That being said, I'd like to say my kids are a lot older. You know, they're in their almost 30 and a little older than that. But, you know, I think in middle school is a good time to get them going on that. I mean, that's when they usually start asking a lot of questions. But I'd like to comment on what old Frankie Tank said. You know, I just wonder when President Trump wins the election, is he going to put his house in Webster Groves or Kirkwood for sale and move to Chicago or Portland or something like that? You know, there is no way this dude is a Republican. If he is, then he's got a framed picture. He's got a framed picture of Liz Cheney over his bed. You know, there's no way. So, anyway.
JR, thank you.
I enjoy the show.
I enjoy you, JR. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Can you imagine being like, you tuck yourself in your flannel PJs and you're like,
yeah,
good night, Liz.
Night, John boy. Night, Liz. Just the standard Liz Cheney, like, congressional picture.
Ed, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates?
Good afternoon, Miss Annie. Love listening to all three of you guys every time I get a chance.
Thank you.
I am a anytime. Mm-hmm. Granted, you have to frame it the correct way based off of how old they are. This was close to 20 years ago, but back in the 2006 presidential election, my daughter was still single-digit midget in grade school. And asking me, she kind of popped up and asked about the question. I said, here you go. I said, you're in school. You're doing your work. You're doing the stuff. You got all the supplies we have to get for you. Kid next to you doesn't have everything. Said, do you want to live in the world where the teacher takes your crayon or your pencils and gives it to the other kid? Or do you want to live in the world where you can be the good person and offer to share because you know it's the right thing and you want to share with the other person, but nobody makes you?
What a lesson.
That's great.
That's goosebumps stuff right there. Man, I should not talk on the show anymore. We just should listen to our listeners. Ed, how did your kid receive that message? Your single-digit midget.
Well, she's grown up now to be, you know, mid-20s, and she's a good fiscal conservative. She's socially more liberal than me, but I think that's just how the world goes.
Yeah, I do too. And you know what? Sometimes time will kind of refine how that social moderate libertarianism, liberalism kind of takes its shape over the course of time as well. And thank you for calling the show. Appreciate you.
Appreciate your time, Miss Annie.
Why are our callers so awesome?
Ed and Aiden show. Brad, you can still produce, but we're going to get out of here.
Yeah. I think we've done as much as we can with this. I got to take a break here. We are going to be back in just a minute. I want you to make sure if you didn't get your calls in, go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave a comment right there on our live broadcast where this poll is being asked as well. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? Dirk said, I chose anytime. The big thing is for parents to also teach their children how to do their research. I've always guided my children to make their own decisions based on their research. Doug said, middle school has a constitution test, so I chose that, but I also would have chosen election years if that were an option. So that's interesting. Kind of a timing thing. Eagle says, teach kids about it all of the time. And Ender said, I went with middle school, but was borderline high school. I believe it should be a time that they can actually understand it, and it can be more realistically relatable to them. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Let me go wild. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. That was quite an interesting set of phone calls that we got there from the Annie Fry Show listeners. I love taking phone calls on Fridays. People always want us to do it more. I'm always hesitant to create a scenario where we get the same dozen people who call every time, but man,
I don't think that's happening.
It's not. And we always have a full board of phones, and I'm trying to push it as much as I can, but it's very, I think we were kind of talking about this off the air. Somebody like Frank/Cody calls in and like really wants their moment in the sun to try to like dunk on us or whatever. I don't care. I can put him on the air. I can take him off the air. I'm on the air 15 hours a week, no matter what. When somebody calls into a show like this, because they're obviously listening, they know that we've opened the phones. It's not something like you can just call in a 97.1 at any time, noon to three, and probably get on the air, which is definitely the case for some conservative talk shows. They will rearrange their schedule around people who call in because they like to take phone calls. The push out there against Donald Trump is that he's a mean person. And that he's like, that he's not classy, that he's not kind. If I were Kamala Harris, I'd have to say three things that mean the same.
Nice or
lovely.
Easy to get along with.
Yes. And then people call in to make that point in very ugly ways. And I think it's so important to let them do that. Because I really can't make the point about the opposition that is out there to Donald Trump among the commoners like us, not the pundits who are on the television, the people who are, you know, trying to pull the levers and whatever. That the average folks out there, that this is the type of conversation that happens, and that when somebody wants to articulate their political opinion and they get the opportunity to do that for thousands of people at one time, that's the priority message that they get across about how much they hate Trump. That is the definition of TDS. You get what, maybe 60 seconds. Some people get minutes, but I try to limit it to 60 seconds if I can of time to make your point to the people of St. Louis. And if that's the most important thing to say, I think that that's an important message to air because it really pulls the curtain back on these people who they're not trying to win a political battle. They hate this man. It's like a moral battle inside, and that is more important to them than anything. And while I find it to be sad, it is also important to also recognize the other side and where they're coming from.
It's just so strange because it's not just that person. You know, there's so many people who they go, we've got to get rid of the hate in this country. And they're frothing and they're so hateful and they're saying it. You're like, have you done the old man in the mirror thing recently? I almost hesitate to give this situation airtime, but I'll say it in generic terms. There is a person in my town. I don't know who it is, but they have yard signs. One of the yard signs they made themselves, and it says F, the whole word spelled out, no asterisk or anything. It's the whole word, the F word spelled out, and then Trump. F word, Trump. On the sign, that's the entire sign. Right behind it is a sign that says Kamala Harris, no hate.
Well, it's just specifically her.
Kamala Harris for president. No hate, no violence. And I genuinely wonder if that person, and that's almost like a caricature of a type of person, if that person ever thinks about the irony of the message that they're getting out there. Because they're clearly trying to get a message out. You don't put yard signs out if you're trying to keep it to yourself. You don't call into radio shows if you're trying to keep it to yourself. Do you get the irony of what you're doing? I just wonder.
I would answer that question is no, they don't get that irony. Because whenever you're so consumed by something like that, that you don't see it. You don't. All you can see is red, and you understand that that man is the devil, and that man represents evil, and that man represents hate. So therefore, my reaction and my response to that man is appropriate. That is, it's a bad mindset, but it is their mindset.
Ends justifies the means.
Yes.
Like, no matter what, anything I do to stop that guy is right because he's wrong.
They're running a presidential campaign on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not more complicated than that. It sometimes we try to make it more complicated than that, but it's really not. We ask all of these questions about why Kamala Harris is the way Kamala Harris is, and the answer is that the only thing about Kamala Harris that's important is who she isn't. Period. Done. Full stop. Period. Done. Full stop. Three.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
She'd be proud. I find it a good opportunity to allow people to speak for themselves, and then, you know, I can put words in the mouth of the leftist side of the aisle, but that would be presumptive. Frank can do it all by himself, and that's just where it is.
It's enough that she's not Trump, and I was looking for clips for my weekend show, and I was digging through that interview that Kamala Harris did with MSNBC this week.
Yeah, Stephanie, dig too deep.
I didn't. Stephanie Ruhle. Yeah. And I thought there are things about this that are very, like, she did the whole using the holistic word three times in 15 seconds or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, you can pull the worst of those interviews and really make a case that this is not a good candidate. This would be a terrible president. But I took what I saw leftist bloggers putting up and saying this was the best of the interview. And I'm going to use some of that, those clips, because even the best clips, she's still just talking about how she's not Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what matters. And they need the reminder. On X, Political Polls is an account I follow, and they just put stuff up all the time, and they cite a lot of other polls. But they put up a poll that said, should the United States keep the Electoral College? And at the end of the poll, 58% of the people said no, and 39% of the people said yes. To which I say, here is a simple majority poll explaining why the Electoral College is genius and a necessity. it's kind of like meta in a way mm-hmm. to ask a binary question. Electoral College, yes or no? Should the president be elected by a simple majority, yes or no? And a reminder that if you take all of the people in what, California, New York, and Illinois, probably those are the states of the three biggest cities. I don't know if they're the most populous place.
Texas, probably.
Texas and Florida are yeah. bigger. Pennsylvania might be bigger, whatever. Forget that. I mean, take the three biggest cities. Just if every person in Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York City voted for Donald Trump, Donald Trump's the president. If they vote for Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris is the president. You take these states that surround these cities, and if everybody votes for them, forget about the people mm-hmm. in Missouri. Forget about the people in Idaho. Forget about the people in Louisiana. It doesn't matter what you think. There will be no national elections where people come and listen to what you have to say. They will not care what you have to say. They will not ask you what you think. What is going on in Springfield, Ohio is not going to matter at all to them. What is going on in, Seattle? Yeah. Not going to matter. None
Fracking,
of that's going to matter.
As it, you know, that kind no. of issue would never come up.
Yeah.
Ever.
It won't matter what your opinion is on those things. You just have to persuade the people in the few largest cities, or maybe four or five states, that you're the guy, spend all of your money there, saturate everything that you have in your campaign into that, and then that's it. Which is why we have the Electoral College. Which is why having a simple poll that says yes or no, that the majority here would get rid of the Electoral College. But that's only an 8% over the even Stevens. That's, to me, it's just a really, really wild, wild thing to take in. All right, ask us anything when we come back. Are you guys ready?
Ready to go.
All right, we'll be right back. Answer the poll on the YouTube live chat poll. When should parents talk to their underage children about elections and candidates? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.